Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I am a realtor with Real Broker here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to provide massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and find out how they've been able to achieve massive success in their business. My hope is that you take away a few things from their experiences to grow your own business. My guest today is a good friend and fellow real agent, Cody Musgrove. Cody's been licensed since 2005 and works mainly in the new construction space. Welcome to the podcast, Cody.
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, we were just at our office meeting and I said, man, I have got to get this down. When you told me that you don't even like what you do.
Not really. Yeah, which sounds really crazy. Like, why am I here? But so my family business, this is what we do. When I was in college, I got my real estate license in 2005 when I was in college.
Nice.
Back in the olden times. Yeah. I saw like the last remnants of the MLS book. You remember that?
Oh yeah. No, I had it. I've been in since 2004.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And I got shown like the brand new computer lab. This is going to be awesome. Like
email.
Email. Cell phones. No, the MLS was like, everybody was, their minds were blown.
Picking up the key.
Yeah, that's right about that. And then, so I graduated college and started doing this. Like, you know, I don't identify with agents that like their, you know, whole personality is their job. That's strange to me. If you're listening to this and that's you, cool. Hey, go with it. Like, I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not hating or anything, but it's just weird to me.
Yeah, like the realtor license plate. Like,
yeah, the realtor license plate. We were talking about that. The realtor license plate, or you have like the personalized, you know, RLTR or whatever. That's a little weird to me. But I think it's just I have other interests and other hobbies and things that I'm usually thinking about. And I kind of come at it like it's not really my whole personality. I like to do other things. I'm interested in other things, and so it's kind of more of a job to me. But there's this guy that I've seen on the internet. I don't remember what his name is. He's kind of like one of those, he's a professor somewhere. He's kind of like a guru guy. And what he says really makes sense to me. He says, everybody says, follow your passion. Don't do that. That's bullshit. Follow what you're talented at. And I'm actually like pretty talented at this. And the reason why I think that's because it's actually kind of easy. Like, you know, the job itself is actually kind of easy. There's hard parts about it. Like, the hardest part is finding new clients all the time. I think that's like the biggest struggle. I have friends that are financial advisors and they spend like 5 to 10 years building their book. And once they have their book, that's it.
Right.
They keep making trades and getting paid on that. But for us,
transactional.
It's, you know, you find somebody, you close their deal and then they're done.
Yeah.
And you know, they may come back to you in 5 to 10 years, but they may not.
Right.
So you're constantly having to find new things. That's hard.
Yeah.
But the actual job of it.
Right.
It's pretty easy, Jamie. Let's be honest. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's easy.
Especially in new construction, right? You know,
yeah, what do you new construction's do? Got its own kind of things. That's what I specialize in. It's got its own kind of quirks. You have to be familiar with how houses are built. You got to be familiar with how subs behave, which is not well.
Right.
Usually, like, they're tough to deal with. They're lazy. You have to pay attention to what they're doing. You know, a project manager is going to pay attention to that, but I also have to go in and do punch lists.
Yeah.
And, you know, look for crooked walls and, you know, plumbing that's not right and extra holes drilled in the walls that aren't supposed to be there. So, you know, there's different aspects to that too. But, you know, like, kind of going back to the, I don't really like this. Like, it's not what I don't go to bed thinking about it and waking up thinking about it in the morning. Like you said, yeah, I get to go do real estate stuff today. Like, no, I play music.
Yeah.
I like to play golf.
Yeah.
You know, I have a 3-year-old son who's super fun and likes to laugh and joke. Like, that's the kind of stuff that I'm always thinking about.
Right.
This is more of a job for me. And I think probably most agents would
disagree. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they disagree. They probably like deep down probably admit that too.
Right.
You know, maybe especially for guys, you know, like it's a little harder for us to make this as like our identity or whatever.
Right.
But, I have hobbies. You know, I'd rather be playing golf.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather be playing music.
And if you were just a little bit better at music or golf, you'd be making
money. Oh, man, if
that.
I was just a little bit better. Yeah, well, at golf, I'd have to be a lot better because I suck.
Yeah.
Like,
I've seen your golf swing.
Yeah, I suck.
It's good, but it's...
I suck. I'm okay.
You're not beating a college player.
So, no, I'm not doing that. But I can play music, and I did that for a while to make some income. But, those are the things that I enjoy. So I think, like, you don't have to... Look, I'm not like... Jamie said some stuff in the intro about like being a massive success or, you know, what'd you say? Like
top
producer or whatever, like, you know, what is a top producer? I don't know what that is. I think
it's all in your own mind.
Well, it's everything's relative too. Like, you know,
top producer this month or this week, 'cause you had 3 closings or whatever.
Well, and we produce enough to sustain the lifestyle that we want.
Like, right.
you know, my production is not going to be like what some dude in New York needs.
Right.
But, you know, it's certainly really good and I'm able to do the things that I want to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah. So it's, you know, that's fine. Like, you just have to decide, like, okay, like, do I like it enough to do that? It's kind of weird. Like, right. Most people don't really like care one way or another for what they do, but it's a job. And I think, you know, being okay with it and moving forward with it as a job is fine. Like, you don't have to, you don't have to make every social media post, you know, about your real estate business. You can do it about your kids or you can do it about like something funny you saw.
Which I think
every once in a while.
It's kind of what more people want to see. You know, I think Lindsay had mentioned that in a few podcasts back. It's like, you know, her people want to see her family, her workouts, her this, her that, and her life more than they want to see.
Yeah. I'd look.
Her sale.
I think if you're only about like one thing in your life, that's weird. You need to diversify yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like find some other hobbies, find some other things you're interested in because you don't want to be a one dimensional person.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be a multidimensional person.
Yeah. I mean, who wants to hang out with a one dimensional?
No, that's not fun. Like, okay, your business is cool. Like, I understand. But like, you know, what else is interesting about you?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And look, I'm very cynical. I don't know if you could tell by this conversation, but I'm kind of a cynical person. But I think, you know, we all have to diversify ourselves a little bit. We need to like grow as people. You know, like this is probably going to come off as me like sounding like I really hate my job. I don't hate my job at all. But it's there are some things about it that I actually do enjoy, like camaraderie.
Yeah.
You know, being able to come here and hang out with you and hang out with people like these people are all my friends. Like, that's my favorite part about it.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, it can kind of get mundane and kind of get boring. And we have big ebbs and flows. Like, we don't have consistent business like all the time. Even people who you would consider like top producers, they get slow.
Yeah.
Sometimes. So I think like it's important to like, you know, kind of if that happens, not panic and sort of take advantage of them. Like, okay, I can grow myself in other ways.
Yeah.
You know, I can, you know, I have people all the time tell me like, I want to learn how to play guitar. I want to learn how to play golf. Like, we'll do it. Like, find time to do it because it's just going to make you more interesting and it might grow your business. You know, in the last year, I've done 4 real estate deals on the golf course.
Nice.
Like they just fall into my lap. You meet people, you go out and you're playing with, you know, kind of rando
people,
guys and gals out there and you start talking. They find out you're in real estate. That's all they want to talk about.
Yeah.
I played in a tournament not too long ago. They had some financial advisor guys that I was teamed up with and they found out I was in real estate. They wanted to talk about real estate.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is good for your business. If you take some interest in other things, you can network that way. Golf is a great way to do it because, you know, those people buy houses. You know, they shop for houses. They buy houses. So, I find that if you continue to grow yourself in all these different ways, it will bring rewards and will reap benefits.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, you can, if you sort of disinterest yourself in one specific thing and interest yourself in another specific thing, it can grow the other one.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, the hands pass back and forth, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And I've done a ton of business with my tennis people. You know, I play tennis here in Lafayette and traveled a little bit with that and met a lot of people with that. So it's been fun to see that side of it too, where you're doing something fun, you're doing something you enjoy, and then you're helping out your friends who are in that space too, which is nice.
Yeah,
you got to do something.
Yeah,
you can't do nothing.
You got to do something.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So when I graduated college, I graduated college right in the middle of the housing crisis, like really great timing for me. And my family business, we're builders and developers. So it was pretty tough times, whenever I graduated. So, you know, I kind of came in and, you know, sort of worked in a real estate aspect with there. But then in 2013, when kind of the pricing was low, family business was still struggling, I went to work in radio. And that was actually a really good experience for me. It didn't last long because I felt like going to an office from 8 to 5 was like reporting to prison every morning getting like work release.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt like I was literally going to prison at 8 a.m. and leaving at 5, like on a little work release, going home. I would eat dinner and, you know, play with my dog and take a shower and I have to report back to the warden in the morning.
Yeah.
That's what I felt like. And I could only do it. I only did it like less than a year, man. It was like brutal.
Yeah.
So, I turned my license back on and jumped back into this. I've been doing it 10 years now. But it wasn't something that I was like, yeah, man, I can't wait to graduate college and sell real estate. Like, that's really what I want to do. I can't wait to do it. Just, that's what our family does. We have a family business that does that. And we didn't have, you know, we had, you know, my mom was actually an agent, but, you know, she was kind of starting to need some help because, you know, the business was starting to grow and stuff like that. So I came back and sort of fulfilled that need. And it just turned into something that this is just what I do.
Yeah. It's not a bad gig, though.
No, it's a great gig. It's a great gig. And I fully recognize that most agents don't have that. Like, you have to work phone duty and, you know, like, really grind and hit the streets and stuff like that when you're new. My situation was a little bit different, which could color my vision of, you know, the whole thing. But, you know, like, you can be good at it and not be, like, all that interested in it.
Yeah.
So I think, like, you know, there's some agents that are, like, super talented at this that I've worked with that are kind of like me that don't really seem to be, like, you know, rah-rah into it, but are just good at it.
Yeah.
So I think if you're good at it, like, that's more important than being talented at it. Yeah. Or that being talented at it is more important than, like, being obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And being, like, passionate about it, I think. It's good to be passionate about it. And if you have both things.
Right.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, watch out.
But that's rare.
Yeah.
It just is.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like that guy says, you know, don't follow your passions, follow your talent.
Yeah.
And I think I agree with that.
You just got to find a way for your talent and your passions to pay the bills.
Yeah.
Which is kind of where we are in our
lives. Which, you know, I have, you know, several other passions, but, you know, one of them is very expensive. One of them makes a little money. Like, I can go and play a gig at night and make a couple $100.
Does that one really make you any money, though?
You've got a lot
of expensive equipment. If you had to put the pen to the paper and say, like, oh, now with all my guitars and all my equipment and am I in the positive on that?
I've accumulated that stuff over a long period of time.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't really have that.
Compounded.
The only costs I have now are the stuff that I just want. You know, I don't have anything that I need. I can just go out and play a gig like now. But, you know, you do have some of that. But, like, you have some of that in anything. Like, if you want to learn how to play golf, you got to buy equipment. If you want to learn how to fish, you got to buy equipment. If you want to start selling real estate, like, you have expenses.
Right.
You know, it costs something to get into anything.
Yeah, for sure.
I think. So, you know, but the music thing does make pretty good money. Like, the best money I ever made, like, on an hourly basis was playing music in college and high school.
Nice.
Yeah. Like, it was just, it was really great and it was super easy. The late nights weren't great.
Yeah. I used to DJ as well for nightclubs.
Does your audience know this about you yet?
Have
you
brought
why aren't you sharing more about yourself
to
these people?
I don't know. I don't
open yourself up, Jamie.
I don't think they care that I used to DJ for thousands of people on weekends every weekend, you know, at a nightclub in Lafayette. I don't think they care about that. Or maybe they do. Who knows?
Yeah, they care about it.
And live on the radio. I would DJ on the radio as well.
We care about you, Jamie.
Yes. And maybe you can tell that a little bit in my DJ podcast voice, right?
Yeah.
Used to do a lot of weddings. I think I might have DJ'd 1,000 weddings. That might be my.
You don't have strip club DJ voice. We would be able to tell that.
Never.
Your intros would sound a lot different.
Never the strip club DJ.
Jamie Knight here. Don't forget to tip your waitresses.
Nope, I never was up in that space for sure. But yeah, no, that's fun. So we have that in common. But where I was going with this was, you know, I had a dad who my dad was a musician and he played music and every weekend they would go and move drum equipment. You know, 3 or 4
dude,
times
being the drummer is the worst.
And then I would, you know, they'd make $100 and then I would go and make, you know, $600 per night. And he'd be like, dude, I just made like, you know, $400 for the whole weekend and moved my kid 3 times.
Drummers have the worst gig. They make the least money in the band because they're considered the back line, right? It's like the bass player and the drummer make the least. The singer and the guitar players make the most. And the drummer has the most work. And the drummer can't ever get anybody to help him, like, bring his stuff in and tear it down.
Right. They're already gone by then. They've wrapped.
Yeah, well, the guitar players now, it's easy because they don't have amps anymore. Everything's digital. So, like, they just bring their little board in, it's plugging in and set it up, and they're ready to go. And, you know, the drummer's got to bring in 200 pounds worth of equipment. And the secret is the nicer your drums are, the more heavy they are. So, like, you have a nice drum set that sounds good. Drummers are strong.
Yeah.
Represent to my drummers out there. That's a tough gig, man.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a tough gig.
Yeah.
I'm glad you shared with your audience about your DJ experience. Yeah, I think they're going to want to know more about
that. Just a little nugget from the old DJ night days back in the day.
Yeah, and that was back in the 90s, wasn't it?
Maybe 98.
Okay, late 90s?
Yeah, 98, 2000, 2001, 2003, something in that.
Right when everything was getting real fun.
Yeah, and I was splitting in the beginning. I was splitting real estate with my DJ gig. So I used to have my DJ gig on weekends, obviously, with weddings and stuff like that. And when I first got started in real estate, I was kind of doing both things, wearing both hats, right?
Okay, so it's a good opportunity to visit about this. So, like, were you using your DJing to further your real estate career?
I wasn't, no.
Because I do that. When I go to play gigs and stuff, I will put something out there that lets people know that I'm also in real estate.
Gotcha. Well, no, at that point I should have, right? I mean, because you had all these new couples I was DJing for, weddings, getting married and all that stuff. And what's the next logical step, right, is to buy a house. I didn't even put two and two together. I don't even think I followed up with them. Had I had the email program I have now, I'd have at least thrown their email.
Well, it was harder back then to do that kind of stuff.
You know, so something like that would have been a smart idea to take my real estate business and kind of have each one feed each other. But what ended up happening was I had a good friend of mine, a business guy that I respected, and he said, Jamie, he said, you know, you're trying to do three different things and you're kind of like average at all these three things, right? You're trying to be a DJ.
What a compliment. Which,
right, I know, great.
Jamie, you have to understand, just average.
And at that point, in like, let's say in 04, like I was a really good DJ, right? I was like the best in town, right? So, but I knew that DJing like would not like pay the bills that we needed to pay, right? Because I mean, you go make, you know, a decent income, but not really good income for little kids at home. So it was like
not a lot of future in DJing, is what you're saying.
There's no future in it, and I was tired.
You don't want to be pounding the clubs when you're 60.
No, and this was weddings by then, but no, I didn't want. I mean, I had a young family at that point, so I was like kind of like just missing out on stuff, right? My daughter was doing travel soccer every weekend. I would book weddings, and then all of a sudden, you know, a travel tournament comes up, and then you're the one staying at home because you got to do this wedding, right? And they didn't hire.
You're working while everybody else is playing.
Yeah, exactly. So I was missing out on family stuff. So, like I say, back to that friend, he said, Jamie, he said, you know, you're kind of average at everything you do. He didn't know how good of a DJ I was, but he was like, you're average at everything that you do, but you are. You're like, what if you just picked that one thing and then just like went all in on that one thing? And I thought that was pretty good advice because like I still play around with music. I still enjoy mixing music or playing music or getting on the microphone at a club and hollering at the people and getting the crowd fired up. But it was good advice in the sense of like, stay focused on like what makes you the most amount of money. And like, so I hung up the DJ headphones. I kind of did that at that time. I was also selling like some Cajun seasoning, which I still have access to. But, you know, and I just kind of said like, I'm going all in with real estate, kind of after he told me that. It was good advice because otherwise I probably would still be doing stupid weddings and stuff on the weekends and selling Cajun seasoning and not really having the type of career that I wanted, at least in real estate. So that's my little backstory.
Jamie doesn't want to DJ your stupid wedding. That's what I got.
Well, I mean, look, I've hung up the headphones. I'll MC.
You've hung up the headphones. It's like people leaving their boots in the ring or whatever, like boxers do.
Yeah, exactly.
You hung up your headphones. You left your headphones at Nighttown.
Yeah.
You hung up the DJ thing. But that kind of goes back into what we were talking about earlier is like, you know, your passion versus what you're talented at. Like you probably discovered that you were pretty talented at real estate and just, you know, kind of chase that. But was it really your passion in the beginning?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. I would say my passion at that point was probably DJing.
Yeah, there you go.
And that was probably the thing that I thought I was going to, well, I thought that was at least was a fun gig, right? Like you go to people's weddings and, you know, they're having a good time and you're playing music. And
it's great money.
Mama and Papa are sitting there waiting until you play Matilda and then they go home, you know? So all of those things. But yeah, like, but that was not sustainable. I mean, not for a family and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know, I guess at some point you have to make a choice, right? You're playing music. You're like, okay, I'm not going to be a full-time musician because I don't want that life for my family. And I guess that's what I had to make a choice of at that point was like, I didn't want that life for my family, I guess.
Yeah.
Like I didn't want to miss out on every weekend
when
the kids were off for school.
I think a lot of us don't come into this business like with it being your passion. Like a lot of us get into it in other ways. Like some of us get into it because, you know, they're just looking for something.
Right.
And they get into it and just find that they're talented at it. Like there's probably several agents here at our brokerage that are like that. You know, like I've never met somebody that like their whole life goal was to sell real estate.
Right.
Like they've always wanted to do something else and then just got into this, you know, whether because they had to or, you know, eventually because maybe they looked into it, like, oh, maybe I'll try this and see how it works. And, you know, they ended up being like really good at it. And then sometimes when you get really good at something, it can like become your passion.
Right.
You know, which, you know, not for me. That's not how
you hate this shit.
That's right. Yeah. Kind of like the beginning of the podcast. Cause I really don't like this very much, but I'm good at it. So it's just not interesting to me. Other things are interesting to me.
Right.
I'm interested in sports and I'm interested in music and I'm interested in politics. And I'm interested in like almost literally anything else.
Right.
other than just like my work or whatever. But if you're good at it, just do it. And the more you do it, you'll be better at it. And then it gets easy.
Yeah.
You know, other than, you know, the hard parts that we talked about earlier, it gets easy. And then you can pay more attention to your passions.
And you're skilled at what you do. So you are skilled at what you do. So that's
right.
Even if you're not passionate.
Well, that's
about
what I mean. Like when
like
it becomes
really
easy.
High skill when it comes to it. And better than even people like me who I don't do a ton of new construction. So obviously you're going to know a lot more about new construction than I.
Yeah. Would. Everybody's got holes. Like I don't know much about leasing or like, attached single family stuff like condos and things like that. That's not really what I do. So everybody's got a hole in their game. You can't be amazing at everything.
Right.
But, you know, I find that kind of like, so it's like there are certain athletes, like they make it look easy when they're out there. Like sometimes you'll watch, like if you watch the NFL, there'll be like a wide receiver who looks like he's running at half speed and is not putting full effort. But you look up at the end of the game, he's got like 150, 200 yards and a touchdown. Like they make it look easy because they're so skilled at it.
Right.
And I think that translates to everything else. Like, you know, Eric Clapton looks like he's not paying attention at all when he's playing guitar, but it's so he's sharpened that knife for such a long time, and he's gotten so skilled where he doesn't have to think about it, and he can think about other things.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of, you know, athletes, musicians, you know, like people who talk for a living, like, you know, there's people that just have the gift of gab is because they've talked a lot.
Right.
And they just know how to do it. There's people that do podcasts like this that are just so skilled at it. They can converse for 3 hours and not have to think about it.
Right.
It's just, you know, it's just like comes like second nature to them, but it's just because they've done it a lot. Like, you know, like the 10,000 hour rule. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
So like whatever you're doing, like if you want to get really good at it, do it for like 10,000 hours.
Yeah.
You know, so like at real estate, that's easy to get to 10,000 hours if it's your job.
Right.
You know, so if you get to that, like you're probably going to be pretty good at it.
Right.
By the end of the day, like you're not going to be amazing at everything, but you'll be pretty good at it. And then if you just keep doing it, you do another 10,000 hours, you'll be great at it.
Yeah.
You know, so like after a while, it's for me, it's like, okay, I always make the joke, like, you know, I still don't know what I want to do. I'm almost 40. Like, I still don't know what I want to do with my life.
Right.
But like, I'm pretty good at this, and you know, we make good money if you're successful, you know, why change it? I can enjoy it enough to get inherent satisfaction out of it.
Right.
You know, from, you know, making money. Like, you know, I get just like anybody else. Like if I'm slow, I get disinterested in it and I get, you know, disillusioned with it, but when it's really good, it's awesome.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of remember, keep the good times in mind. But yeah, like that's kind of the gist of everything. It's like you don't have to like be in love with it, but if you're good at it and just like keep doing it, you'll get really good at it, and it'll get easier, and then it'll get more enjoyable. Like everything stacks.
Right.
You know, it's like a snowball rolling. So, you know, like I guess if you're listening to this and you're just kind of like not in love with it, know that you're not alone.
Right.
It's like, you know, there's a lot of us that are just not in love with it, and you don't have to be.
Right.
You know, you can just do it and just be good at it.
Right.
You know, I would say don't suck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. You can't be disinterested and suck.
Yeah. Don't suck. Like you can be disinterested in it just as long as you don't suck.
Yeah. And then make sure the client doesn't know that you're disinterested in it.
Yeah. Well, it's not disinterested in it. Just be good at it.
Right.
Like if you're good at it, just be good at it. You don't have to like love it.
Yeah. And I think people could get some vibe from you in the new construction because you're skilled at it.
Yeah.
And you've had the experience in it, and that's what you bring to the table more than you bring your passion for how the drapes look or whatever.
Yeah.
It is,
and
you know?
Like I think kind of think too, like you can probably second this, but like the further you go along, what seems to you like to be common knowledge is really not common knowledge. Like, you know, the things that experienced agents know, you know, just from previous experience on deals or whatever, like the general public doesn't know. They need somebody who's skilled and experienced.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think the reason why a lot of us get hired, or you know, the reason why a lot of us get taken on as an agent for somebody is because you have knowledge and skill. Like, you know, we have the NAR lawsuit going on right now, and I like to spend time on TikTok, and I'll like, you know, the agents are making videos. I love going into the comments and seeing what like kind of the people who exist with their mouth open 24/7 are thinking. And it's like, you know, oh, you know, you guys don't work enough hours for, you know, to get paid the amount of money that you make. And you guys don't do this and you guys don't do this. And I'm like, I don't see anybody making the argument like we don't get paid for the hours that we work. We get paid for the knowledge and expertise that we have.
Right. Just, you know, like a doctor.
Just like a doctor. And I, you know, I understand that we don't go to medical school. Like real estate school is actually too easy. I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's way too easy to get your real estate license. I will totally agree with that. But the ones of us that have been doing business for a long time, like, we have a knowledge that is really specific and really detailed. And that's what you're paying for.
Right.
You're paying for access to that. So,
yeah. One thing, too, I would say before you move on that is, I think one thing that I kind of realized over the last few years that I thought was kind of in my mind, and I think agents, if you take away one thing from our visit, is I think one thing that I'd heard a little while back was that the general public in the real estate space kind of operates at like a sixth grade level. And that's not meant to be disrespectful to anyone.
It just is what it is.
You know, like, they just have about a whatever knowledge that they have about real estate, or maybe they've heard something about real estate. So the average person, consumer, doesn't know that much about real estate. And I think that when you look at it like that, you can kind of poise yourself to, or position yourself to be able to respond to it in that way, right? Like, when it comes to the NAR lawsuit, like, they don't need to know all the legal jargon and all the legal this or that or whatever went down to in this lawsuit. They need to know, well, what changed?
Yeah.
You know, and it's really too, I always say my response to the NAR lawsuit when I'm talking to buyers or sellers and they're asking me, say, what went on with the NAR lawsuit? I said, two things have changed. That's it. One, you can't advertise commissions in MLS, our local MLS. And then the second thing that has changed is that buyers, agents are now going to be required to have a buyer agency agreement. Those two things have changed, right? I think a sixth grader might be able to understand that stuff, but if we go into the lawsuit and we go into the legal
jargon,
start
getting inside baseball,
we start
on it.
Losing them, right? They're like deers with their head cut off, you know,
and deers with their heads cut off. Dang, dude.
Yeah. You know, so we're cutting deer's heads off.
But Jamie doesn't like deer.
But, you know, and I mean, they're delicious. You know, let's be
honest.
They are
delicious.
I mean, we're in Louisiana, so they are delicious. But, you know, that being said, that was something that a few years ago when I heard that little nugget about people kind of operating at a little bit different pace or a little bit different speed than we operate as realtors, it helped me kind of change my mindset on how I respond to those same people.
Right.
I said, look, I can kind of say things in a way that's not super complicated. I can say things that's easy to understand. I can put everything in an email maybe, and if they're confused or question what I said or what I did, put it in an email. 10 o'clock at night, they're like, hey, what's this? What did Jamie say about that? Boom, it's in an email. Go back and check it. It's in a text. Go back and check it. I'm sure y'all do a lot of that in new construction where it's like, I need this down in writing. And
you
go back and look and you check the email. And
absolutely,
you can see that that's in writing. And now if they have any questions at midnight, they're stressed about, oh, this, or should I have done that? And, you know, go check the email.
Well, you know, we don't have a lot of stress at midnight because we keep such a good paper trail.
Yeah.
You know, people understand what's going on their houses, and, you know, we communicate with them extremely well. So we don't have a lot of clients that get panicked at midnight. Unless they're just kind of a panicky person, then there's nothing you can do to satisfy that. But most of the time, we don't have a lot of clients that are upset or wondering what's going on at their house or anything like that. Because, again, it's just communication.
Right.
Yeah. You know, which is, it's easy. You know, and there are some people that are not talented communicators. You are. You know, so you can explain something like the lawsuit to someone very simply. Some people are not capable of doing that.
Right.
But, you know, there could be talented at other things that maybe you and I are not.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And that's where, like, even more recently, like, I've hired a transaction coordinator who is in our office, and she's amazing, and she is more skilled at how to write things correctly or the process of things that I just don't get as excited about. Like,
right.
You know, I don't get excited about processes, right?
Jamie is not passionate about paperwork.
You know, and say you aren't either, I'm sure. That's the things that I feel like most realtors, personality-wise, are probably not super passionate about paperwork. There are some people who do, and I've talked to realtors who do, who like being organized and like being, you know, like super detailed about things, which I like that. As I'm not detailed. I'm just like, that's just not my passion.
Right.
I'd rather be eye to eyeball with people. I'd rather be at the same table. I'd rather be at their kitchen table chatting with them.
You excel in interaction.
Right. Right. Whereas, like, I can pass that along to, you know, Selena, and she's our transaction coordinator, and she's amazing at the back end side of it, where she's sending emails and people are getting well informed and all of that stuff. So I would that is one reason I feel like somebody should probably have a transaction coordinator. If you find that your personality type is very like, I need to be in front of people,
yeah,
like, or like, I feel like that's where a transaction coordinator is going to help somebody be like,
It's hard to sell when you're...
It feels both.
It's hard to sell when you're chained to a computer doing paperwork.
Yeah.
You know, I dealt with that, you know, my previous broker that I was at. They did a lot of systems and you got to upload this here and upload this here. And all of a sudden I looked up and I was just shackled to that computer.
Yeah.
And that was time where I couldn't make phone calls. That was time when I couldn't go out and check my jobs. That was time when I couldn't like meet people and all that kind of stuff. And it was really costing me a lot of business.
Yeah.
And I think a transaction coordinator, I invested in one this year and it's been a really good investment. It's not that expensive.
Right.
You know, it's a cost. It is an additional cost when you factor in your cap money and your fees and all that. But I think that, you know, if you operate like Jamie and I, it's worth it to pay that for them to cover that part of the business that you don't like. Because I just straight up don't like. I really, really don't like that.
Right.
You know, I could get by with just a G drive.
Yeah.
And that's it. But I really don't like the paperwork processing side of stuff. So I hired somebody to do that so I could go do the things that I prefer to do.
Right.
You know, and that in the end makes the job, you know, a lot more satisfactory to me. Like when I was buried in paperwork, I hated this.
Right.
Like really hated this, was looking for something else to do, all that. But that got solved. So now I can stay here and be more happy with it, even though I still don't love it.
Right.
You know, back to what we started talking about, even though I still don't love it.
Yeah.
It's good enough where, you know, I'm at ease with it. I don't mind doing it.
Right.
You know, I enjoy my interactions with people. I think that, like, you know, as long as your clients are happy, that's good. And they're happy, you know, my expertise and kind of, you know, I did some negotiating on some inspection items this week on a house that was not brand new. It wasn't a new construction house, but it was done. It was completed so recently that they still had warranty items on it. I was able to get these repairs for this lady that's buying this house, even though it's a resale, from the builder because it's still under builder warranty. Like, I don't think there's a lot of agents that would have chased that. They right. would have asked the seller to pay for it or whatever. But for me being in new construction,
yeah,
I knew
that there, was something that should the builder should.
Her builder has a warranty that the state makes them do
right
on these items that should have been fixed at punch list, but they weren't. So right. the seller was able to get all of those repairs for free.
Nice.
So even if something happens, which I don't anticipate, even if something happens and, you know, we don't close on this house, they still got their repairs and didn't have to pay anything.
Right.
So that kind of stuff, that kind of experience, you know, the longer you do it, you get that. But that was an easy thing for me to see. I didn't have to work to find that. It didn't take me 20 calls to discover that. I just knew it.
Right.
It comes from doing this, having the experience. It makes the job easier. Therefore, you know, it's easier for me to do.
And it's a service to the client.
And it is a service to the client. She's super happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the sellers are super happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it just makes everybody happy at the end of the day. I think that's what's important, you know, for me, like going back to it. You don't have to love this, but if you get good at it, it'll become easier. And you can focus on some other things that you do enjoy to get some intrinsic satisfaction with your life. And you can continue to do this, make really good money, you know, be somewhat happy with it and do some other things to fulfill your life in other ways. You know, it doesn't have to be your whole personality unless you want it to be.
Right.
And that's totally fine. I'm not going to judge you at yeah. all. And Jamie's not going to judge you
no,
either.
No, I won't.
Yes. If you have the license plate, I will chuckle.
Yeah.
I will. Yeah, that does entertain me.
The license plate is far.
That entertains me a little bit. You know, I do enjoy that. But
yeah.
you'll never see me with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that might be a good place for us to kind of wrap up too, man. Because
yeah,
we're
cool. You sure don't want to go another hour?
Yeah, look,
we can go another hour.
Me and you can rip it for 2 hours straight, I'm sure. But we'll have to get you on another podcast episode. Maybe we can talk about some other stuff. But
yeah,
just so that in the spirit of keeping it, you know, ish around ish time that we keep it, you know, I think maybe we'll go ahead and wrap it up with.
It was only 30 minutes. That felt like 2 hours.
Yeah, so we'll wrap it up there, man, unless you want to close out with some other little message you want to tell realtors.
No. I don't have any. I'm not going to tell you what to do. Other realtor that's listening to this, I'm not going to tell you what to do. If you know me, you would probably appreciate that.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. Well, sounds good. Well, man, I guess we'll go ahead and close it out.
I appreciate this. This was fun.
We'll go ahead and close it out with that, man. I appreciate you being on the podcast, brother. It was fun to have it. Man, when I heard you talking like that at the office meeting, I was like, I've got to get this down on the podcast, man. So I'm glad we got to rip it because, you know, you'll be probably helping. Cody will be helping us a little bit more to make this thing sound more professional and stuff like that, too, because Cody's got a good ear for things. So we'll give him some props. Now, Cody Musgrove, producer of this, his first episode right here.
Thanks, buddy.
So he'll be chiming in on a few of our podcasts. So But anything else, I appreciate you guys listening into the podcast. It means a lot. And I hope to talk to you guys soon.
Give Jamie a subscribe. Subscribe to Jamie.
Yeah.
On Spotify. You. Are you on Apple Music yet? You on Apple Podcasts?
Yep. Apple Podcasts.
Okay.
Yep.
Subscribe to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do your boy a solid.
Yeah.
Sounds good. He's putting a lot of effort in this. He's doing a lot of episodes. Like, help your boy out.
Yeah.
It's just a click. It doesn't take any effort at all. Just search it and then click subscribe and then you're done.
Yep.
You've done your duty to Jamie.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Because there's more people in our office who have crazy stories and great values, and not even just our office. We're expanding it out to Acadiana now. We'll have a couple more people outside of our office.
This is going worldwide.
Worldwide.
Jamie. This is to the world.
Oh yeah, for sure, man. We're gonna totally bring in some.
You don't want to do like the YouTube thing. Talent. Don't forget to smash that like button, hit that subscribe.
Yeah. Something like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
It might make a cool sound when you hit it. Ding.
Ding. Yeah, like the Mario coin.
Yeah. Boop-ing. All right, y'all. Appreciate your time. Hope to talk to you guys soon.
Ba-bing.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.